settled, and it's almost half one in the morning here on the after the final night now, and we've got this new text out. What do you make of it?
Well, it's a vastly improved text over the previous version from 8 o'clock this morning. The biggest change, of course, is it goes from the goal of the negotiations launched next year at COP18 from being a legal framework, which was very weak, because the Rio Treaty itself is a legal framework, so that could mean anything. Could be purely voluntary, to a protocol or another legal instrument. The word binding has been dropped. I think that's a sensitive issue for both the U.S. and China, but this is definitely progress because it says this would be a protocol or an amendment, not decisions and not a purely voluntary framework. It also has some language in there that noting with grave concern the emissions gap between the 2 degrees and the pledges now on the table. That's quite useful. And the last paragraph, it changes from shall encourage raising the level of ambition to shall raise the level of ambition. So it makes it more declarative that in conjunction with the science review 2013 to 2015, parties have to raise their game on emissions.
And can I just be clear on the timing about this, because the 2015-2020 date was a big one. It says starting next year and wrapping up by 2015. When would you expect it to actually be implemented?
Well, if you wrap up the negotiations by 2015, it could enter into force relatively quickly, or it could take a long time. Rio, for example, was signed in 1992 and entered into force in 1994, only a two-year period. Kyoto, of course, was negotiated in 1997 and didn't enter into force until 2005 because it took Russia so long to ratify. So, but here, assuming that the countries that are taking on this amendment are mainly the European Union, Switzerland, and Norway, not Russia, not Japan, they can sort of time the ratification to go as quickly as they want politically.
Is it all eyes on the Kyoto Protocol now to see whether that text kind of provides the balance that we need for?
Well, yes. I mean, the quid pro quo is they will have to adopt a stronger text there, which not only says have decisions here on things like land use change and mechanisms, but actually adopt the amendments to Kyoto here that would inscribe the numbers for the European Union and others that want to be bound under Kyoto. So it's a much stronger result on both sides, as it has to be to have balance politically.
And do you see this having potential to get signed off?
I certainly hope so. My assumption, and I haven't validated this, but my assumption is the Secretary did their homework, showed this new text to the key parties and the key groups of parties, and made sure that they could live with it before they put it on the table for the plenary.
And if this is along the lines of what we get tomorrow, is that a success?
I think it is. It's actually better than I think many of us expected coming in here. If you get amendments to Kyoto adopted this meeting and you get a commitment by the U.S., China, India, and others to launch negotiations next year coming out of COP18, that is a pretty significant achievement. It's by no means a done deal. There's a lot of things that can still go wrong on this process over the next 3 years, because you're going to have to start addressing very thorny issues of equity and allocation of emissions responsibility. What is the level of ambition for this new instrument in the 2020 to 2030 period, for example, if that's the time frame? So there's still a lot of hard work, but the first step is getting the process launched, having an ad hoc group set up to manage it, and agreeing on the parameters and deadlines for completing the negotiations.
Alden, thanks for speaking to us.
Yeah.